And how's your hostile asking? The a man with a paper carnation to destroy the universe, see the universe as Chinese boxes nested, one world within another. Egg through that honeycomb between your world and one other's, and through the seams comes light to put out the sun, fire to earn the stars from sight. Love is one way to break through, but violence is better. I have a taste for tearing bread in the bone, to tear the song from the stone. My mother, chatty, as always, writes, as always, in those letters signed, as always, with all my love. When I close my door and read and practice on that everlasting piano, I relax and I'm ready to battle in the morning. Pal of my cradle days, she taught me the function of walls, to tear them, to break through. The rabbi's knife, as it was then, is honed in hand, and I am Joshua, prophet, magician, master of cups and balls, who bursts the trunk, who scales the walls, who hurtles screaming through the halls. I am sword, I am flame, but you must love me. Destruction becomes a habit. Soon you pull a one-wheeled wheelbarrow full of stones to build a wall for the joy of knocking it down. Nothing is created new. The wall is one in New Haven, built of keyboards, beaver board, forget-me-nots, and venom. And before it, as I wail in my false beard, speaking Hebrew with a Gentile accent, speaking English, if at all, in tatters, my children come fresh from the nun school in their uniforms to laugh at me in Latin. I have a taste for violence that is not fed by the perfect world I conjure whole, made first, made mine, in which I am the sun. I can imagine bodies black for beauty's sake, and not from having walked through fire. But it is the fire, the sun, that bleached my skin, ash white, smudged me black, that I desire. I long for tightness in the free and clear, and the universe destroyed pulls like a rope. The past persisting gives and tightens till I am red as any coal, and pulled back willing, tugged there, charred, past campfires and groves, headlights at 6 o'clock, through all that light and fire to tight confinement. The prophet's beard comes off and he is grandpa, closeted with his separate dishes, speaking Russian and Yiddish, and finally dying Hebrew. The rows were real, the nursery was real, 18 miles from Hartford, where I heard them tearing at each other from my side of the wall, and slept. But this universe has been destroyed. Real flowers in real greenhouses, real roads with real red lights, this has been destroyed. I stand on stones, each one a singer, and sing, holding my paper carnation, born in flame, pattering fluently, smooth in performance, deft. In a world of smoothness, I remember shoulders, sun-reddened, healing on a hank of nettles. In a world perfected, I want frayed tag ends, gnarled, knobby, cast off root stumps to destroy, wives to shout at, children to threaten. I run through water that sings, kicking, and the red carnation that was fire, that was a bleeding heart and huge, diminishes to a far point on some lost Sunday, and is a forget-me-not. I tramp the silence, remembering, shouting, the illusion of the first time is illusion, and is nothing compared to the wonder of of the second. You can go home again, but you'll wish you hadn't. My name is Teddy. I'm friendly. Read through the attic dress forms to my lair below the eaves. Pet me, stroke me, I will know you. I will warm you with the summers when bears shed their pelts and danced on the rims of pools and warm pebbles. My loamy paws will smooth away the bottle caps and crabgrass. You will walk on warm soles through a younger afternoon. My name is Teddy. I'm furry, but it's softer, it's warmer inside. Come in, be brushed by lamb's wool and the freckled skin knee flesh of 10. My throat is lunchbox oranges, earmuffs, braids you dipped in inkwells, walks along the shore, and river silvered songs of stroking oarsmen. I have lain with my lady nostalgia and found her fair, but the fingers that stroked me tore me, and her face was the face of a bear. My name is Teddy, I'm funny, and you can laugh, but I'll take your laughter. I'll steal your speech and stroke it into silver. I'll carve the silver still molten and make it mine. I want the flesh to be warm, to be firm, to be yours. It's cold in the attic, your blood can warm me. Be a child again and play with Teddy. Be a child again and be eaten alive. But you won't be sorry, it's warm inside with the blood of the others, the words, the walks. My name is Teddy. I'm hungry. Hi, L.A. In the grotto of the Pacific Seas, cafeteria beneath West Hill Street, the voice of pure Caro pauses. Gethsemane dozes a while in the Maxfield Parish twilight, in the deep, in the dark, their guide. We wear the costumes of the time, we are not fortune tellers, sits at her table, hands folded. Above, with the sound of forests falling, a stalk of celery snaps. And you hear the tone, a child will die. The time will be in the usual way, on the usual freeway. Ours, the city will be ours again, as it was in Egypt, when a slow descent with torches to lyres, to singing, to an underground grotto through lakes of fire, was man's one journey, his one content. Above, outside, on the freeway, Volkswagens, Jaguars, 37 Chevys, race to their mortgaged homes, their fat content. Another child will die, and in Griffith Park, a man whose touch is moist, whose name is Candy, patrols the playground flushed with lust and toffee. A child will die. Die or be sacrificed to the watchers of the grotto who wait with a scale for the heart. To the locally owned business managed vendors of gas, custodians of live wires. The smog is thick today as 1,000 torches, lighting the way in deeds in Heiligen Holland to the place of judgment where the scales are weighted. Die or be sacrificed to the mothers waiting in line at central casting. Now, honey, show the man how you do Mae West. Don't squirm now, you know now I said do Mae West. The palm wine drinker healing numb below calls for his tapster, Inkadoo is there. Arani, do Durati, Ink, a dinkadoo. Or sacrifice the child by making age the sum and total of its life so that the woman of upstairs gumming, ulti, purpose food has wrinkled, cotton printed, toothless, sly, been pawing toward death for 60 years. Out in the wilds of West Pico, behind the billboards, wrapped in a dream of distances, still disdaining motion, they wait for a cry, a moan, a sign of good intentions. Or entrust the little ones to the tender mercies of Rum Blossom Fields, who said, anybody who drinks and aids children can't be all bad. Enroll them then in that unbuilt orphanage, ringed round with broken bottles to keep out all but Protestant whites. The winds of eternity, thick with cabbage and cream of wheat, blow through the grotto. The queen of the night has warts and goes to quiz shows. The freeways are quiet, the supermarkets closed, in wheelwrights and Beverly Hills in a diabetic coma, in ribbons, pin curls, marshmallow sauce, and almonds, the last child dies. How the city is theirs, not one left to grow out and away from them, to give a horse laugh and say no to them, now it belongs to them, from the trailer parks to Hustle Beach, to the Huntington Library, Long Beach, the Palisades. It is a closed corporation of people who live in utter despair and die in utter akinly. How Jericho would have loved the sheerness of the space, the rose and gray and green of the perfect distances. In the distance, a child's cry is stopped as the voice in the grotto was stopped. The dead are 100 feet tall. They burst through the grotto 100,000 strong to claim their own. Over the city, a child's voice is heard, recorded on stereophonic tape as they tumble on, recruiting. Picnic! Picnic tomorrow at Forest Lawn! M-I-C-K-E-Y M-O-U-S-E. Harsh. Doesn't matter. Let us talk by touching. In contact at 3 points, hands, thighs, and waffle grid shoe soles with wood in its 2 ages, I stand on the ladder's top rung in an orchard in the county of Merced. It is 4 o'clock in the morning. Not the dark night of the soul, but the night that comes down on the central valley, and down, and spreads. I am up on the topmost rung, but the ladder stops at the tree as the word is stopped at the mouth. As the mouth can speak, so the mouth can swallow. Then don't be swallowed, be silent. It doesn't matter, you can speak by signs. Between the thumb and forefinger of the O I make to call her, Lillian Leitzel is swinging a principle of pure motion. Leave it at that. Leave her swinging, swinging, forever nearly but not quite, wrenching her arm out of its socket, spinning through air, through night, through an endless arc between the branches of the night of abandoned fruit and quiet. Doesn't matter, give up mouths for motion. When Leitzel spoke, she cursed and ate out managers, lovers, men who manned the guy wires that couldn't keep her aloft in Copenhagen. Don't look for her in speech. It is as if you really heard the Lorelei. She'd speak low German, hunch on verse, and Aroners would laugh. Do they laugh when you speak? It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Spirits have no ears to hear your summonings. Spirits are all fingers, and the fingers are the branches of the peach tree. I want a principle of your growth. Blossoms are growing from the ladder, and the tree is stripped smooth. All things grow and move, all things but the word. The heard doesn't matter. The word is final and fixed. Would it have been any different if I had said yes on the key system train and oh, in old St. Mary's? It wouldn't have mattered. I'd have had a label as peaches or culls and seconds and firsts and swill. But peaches still the principle of growth. There are no good or bad peaches, no good or bad poets. The only good poet is a dead one. From his home in the sea, he hears the calm responses of the waves. He moves in and out and back as he never could in life. In life, the word would have fixed him forever in the botanist's amber. He would be gabbling still of Goethe, stock still, stone. The word can change us to stone, but never tack. Oh, I know named Lear stands on another ladder, hangs on for dear life, says over and over, had a daughter, couldn't trust her, had a daughter, couldn't stand her, had a daughter, couldn't fight her, had three daughters, don't have one now. Hansen, avoid my sight. It doesn't matter, we can speak through distance. In the distance between the end and over, stammered no, is a world of maybes. Between the tick and the gasp and the loss of breath is the chance of change. Anything can happen before the word is finished. Leitzel can swing and never fall or die if no one says so. Lear can lay off Tokay and find a home if no one calls him exile. The bum who drives the truck I swamp for, picking up boxes, sees boxes, misses the souls, housing each one, waiting for bodies to inhabit, bodies made of the wax that forms on the skin of the ruined peaches. The word is the wax, the blackened pits within, the peaches inhibiting growth, denying motion. Why can't we all shut up, abandon speech? I don't want to be confirmed. I want the ladder to go beyond the branch and up to heaven. The herd doesn't change. The herd confirms. In the poet's green death, in the driver's called Rainier Ale, there is a perfect world, a world without words where nothing can be fixed, where seaweed speaks and shells and the foam on glasses. I am standing on a ladder in this orchard, in this county, in this state. I know the hour, the place, and I am trembling. The peaches are all on the ground, the ladder still. Lear, rachitic, coughs out his loss on the ground, and I hear the word confirming, the word is final. In the voice of my four-year-old son. Daddy, when I grow up, you can be the old grandpa and live with me.
Robert Connor. My poetry gives birth to me anew every morning as a beautiful boy, and at night buries me a weak old man. Once in the morning as a beautiful boy, naked in the sunlight, I sat in the swell and fall of the waves, feeling the wet green seaweed against my thighs, knowing the world around the sea is pure and luxury for the first time. The sun watches nothing, and one moment it stands still and illumines everything. Why should it care if a beautiful boy should masturbate on a beach? The seaweed nor the sea itself, never jealous of her perfect undulations, could have sent that slap of a jellyfish to sting my knee. Was it never for the seed of beautiful boys to impregnate the sea? It was the sun as a beautiful boy who sent Evadne to the dock of a thicket while she tore her purple robes in the last painful thrust of her labor, until with a smile she dropped her child in the grass. The rays of the sun caught up in the yellow tongues of violets, bathed his soft flesh in light, and Evadne, her fear without shame, sat weeping and tickled her child. It is the sun imperceptibly floating makes the eye disappear, imperceptibly floating, no longer free though floating, no longer fixed but shrinking, shrinking with envy in the heave of the motion, sick with its own barrenness. Oh, if every eye shrinking could burst and become one for one in a garden of grass, then join in a fly's eye, bringing to itself a blade for each lens. The garden would be fixed, the sun would be cast in a spell, and while I watched, the sea would come alive in gaudy shapes made by the beautiful sperm of children. It was the sun who took a serpent shape and twisted round the flesh of Laocoon, but first his sons born in disobedience were crushed. The serpent slid toward the sea, but as it touched the water became Apollo's stony body, a beautiful voluptuary, a cruel seducer of the sea. It is the sun who dries my skin, and shedding it, my serpent eyes blaze with the flash of envy in my blackened stomach, consumed with envy, aching with desire. "Pal," he said to me drunk, "do you really care that silence floats on the Matterhorn and twinks fireflies?" I told him to look behind his own glassy eyes at the tears there, never heard, never going anywhere. If we whisper in the night, the morning comes and we forget the soft sound, or think of the wind, or feel embarrassed, and say it must have been cold, but all with a good grace. He said, but no longer pal, intense, "If you'd make love to me, I'd think solely of myself, of how all my feelings with my blood rush to the same center in my heart." He said, I know the tickings of the slow, slow snow piling up in drifts all over your face. It's all so fast these moments before the gloom settles in and turns faces to the window and lulls us to hatred. Because the same old morning fog was there, we talked of parks in San Francisco and Bordeaux. As if no flowers in bloom left room for any blue and red, we tire and start to drink again. Jesus, Jack, is everyone so alone that you can refuse us tarot cards? What do you see behind these shining faces? Why is there a future you don't care to let them know? Why do you hate questions? Is this why you left those Irish boys stoning your poor fish in Boston? The Charles, I envy mature eyes that saw the Boston Irish and fell in love with them. I remember stoning snapping turtles there and diving off the trestle. One boy dashed his head, he reckoned wrong. The 13th pole is water deep enough for a shallow dive. This boy was French, he leaped from the 14th. I hardly knew him and he's dead. I'll bet those dead fish the Irish boys were stoning died from bits of flesh from that boy's head. But still, I guess I know that same Boston. When I eat flesh raw, honey and milk flow from stones. When the gang calls for Corey, I quake and feel my bones settle down for an age-old saw. Disappointment, the same puckered mouths hiss in their breath and break the stone into gobbets of Corey's flesh. We won't forget who we are for a moment. Oh, poor baby, poor sad. I was so neat and clean in those days, in my trench coat, so pretty. I walked up Beacon Street, sniffed the air and felt surprised at all the books I learned of then, learning German at a private school in Copley Square. My poor old Viennese Jew Leorin, she told me of Berkeley and the figs growing in every yard, of how the War Department built ships that sank when they floated down into the sea. So poor, but I was too, and we talked as we strolled in the country. In greedy hunger, she picked rhubarb, so old, and mothers and nuns looked out through bars of hospital windows with hatred in their eyes. Poor baby, poor sad, we know when friends plan to die. Wapiti, in the hills of New Hampshire, the poet slugged the child into premature speech. These are premonitions, the voice of dissatisfaction anticipating the proud patron's eye. Wapiti, once a week, he proclaims his beauty, his chastity, But like a mother hen sends up grain to spread like pollen for the crows, ducks, all the barnyard animals. Wapiti, like a swan, he approaches, but all we can do is giggle. Wapiti, the beginnings of self-respect. Wapiti, the flesh that feeds Cocteau's horse. Wapiti, branded with an X, floating down the river Styx and sinking in the putrid air. Wapiti turned human and canceling down the and canoeing down the Charles, listening like a child to the poet's premature speech. The many mouths of the Charles, Cleo Spicer floating in his bark, adorned like a pearl of the east with fish eyes and the glint of Irish brogue. I know that once as intimately as a memory, it is the best of all possible rivers. The ghost of old friends, the cry from houses as we walk in the streets, salt. Old poems are preserved there, given a new zest, made to remember like salt rubbed in old wounds. Spicer, the whore of jipping Irish boys, who stone with kindness, sweeter than milk and honey, who cry for the flesh, and the bit of mind they leave untouched sinks or swims unnoticed. If ever I'm a great poet, I hope my ghost will see the best, the universal, if ever I touch it, be burnt. And the barrels of crap I will to the Midwestern college where I teach is all that's left. There's where I tried to feel and mention names, either great or small, the personal, the pure shit that no German scholar will ever touch. There's where I'll find the ghost of people loved, respected, and rejecting me, or perhaps loving me. And at the bottom of the barrel, that mess I wrote after taking a course in lyric from Miss Josephine Miles. I think I said your breasts are like hammocks where scholars rest, not lovers. That was before I read her collected words. That was before Spicer counted them and bound them up. And goddamn every precious thought I might have had. I haven't been misunderstood for so long, I'm lonely. The fuse that set off your giddy ravings, that's a distinction. The fingers that play all the best of the ages the moment you see dirty fingernails. Coffee and oranges, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and all the days of the week take stock of themselves on Sunday. Why do we always fall on the nearest breast, or are the nearest breast, or nothing? I remember when you said to me, he, and he, but not him. How should I know if you were right? Oh, Jack, I'm stupid. This is outpourings as ugly as the word. Happy, do you know I used to come home drunk, piss on the floor beside my bed, and tell my lover I was writing poems. Am I as pitiful as the rest? I am waiting for the day when all languages will be dead but French, and some epigraphist will say that Spicer is an island where ivory was found in San Francisco Bay. I am one up on you. I kiss all my lovers. One day I kissed the head of Helen Adam riding by on a bicycle, like the witch in The Wizard of Oz, when I was lonely. People don't talk to me anymore. I'm sad because of it. And you smile because you're not shy. Well, hoopla, hoopla, you don't know everything that's going on. Tomorrow's going to come even though you're not here with me now. I wouldn't say I need you. I wouldn't say the first thing that came into my mind if it made any difference. Miss Miles, Spicer, Wapiti, and Duncan, too. And Tallulah, too. Yes, I'll go that far. Because she's the one who said I'll knock every tooth out of that silly cunt of yours. If it were sleep, if it were the breast, if it were nothing, if it were my own breath crying for you, anyone, everyone, if it were now, I could be that skin, that salt, that fish, that river, that stylistic study of the Wapiti.
He leaned real close, whispering in his hole, "Don't touch, I'm my very own vision. I'm virgin, don't violate the sweetheart. Leave go," he said. "I won't go far from your pickling jar, which you think is peaches and cream. You know you are stale like soft pumpernickel gone stale, and cigarettes or books and spaghetti real gone." The brittle one poked his ear for fun. "Now, honey, don't get all caught up in that, or I will paste you in your belly fat, like how come you are like a honey bat in the palace, honey?" He could not extract his finger from the hole. I say, unwashed poet, don't sit there writing about it. Take your fucking finger out. He leaned real close, whispering in his nose. He said, that is just like what the wife said. And I said, you brung it here. Besides, I like your ear. And he poked his nose for fun. Now, honey, I won't go. What is done, so be it, and all that jazz. So take your goddamn fingers out. I'm getting stuffy inside. He pecked his cheek for fun. Honey, you're sweet, but stop your wagging tongue, or I will put my finger in it, and you sure will be in a pickle. He was leaning real close now, stuck there to his cheek, arms flung about his head as though conducting a head. Sweet music, sweet music. For an hour, till they left struggling not to be so awkward, like an inarticulate faucet or an unwashed corset, left the bar, the tap lights, into the street's light. Sweetheart said love to her lover, fondling his ear or whatever. That was a funny feller. Yes, indeed, he sure was, he said through his nose as one who knows. Indeed he was. The poem is the man who tries entering a world, a whole system of created things within, finds himself above all things talking and gawking at and so forth, and slinks out bravely in the dark as ever and so forth, thanks to R.D. for a splendid reading thereof. No thing in the sun can heal the earth. I suffer. This rain would not have come had I not wished the earth to crush eaglets from the sky who fall, who die at length eaglets fall. Because the soil or the wood is illegal, always a reprimand or a curse. I am the son of smell. I know half as much, and the sun whose noise is screaming, and the lanterns of the sun. I burrow in the mind of owls. I burrow in conclusions, in the measurement of a death. In haste. The dear visions of my kin are without sun and sunset. They eat in a hole of grey light, fearful of night, but breastfed because the laws of night are different. I should not be there. I come upon them in pure reason, who run toward to leave me, who upon one doe back I sit, screaming, what has no sweat has no white. I have flight. I have fallen in measurement, risen silk. I love without pure reason, I believe in birth, and the unfeathered wings are strong enough. There are other measurements. A poem is not fault or celebration. I believe in one line and repeat. Love and heap youth with dissoiled flowers. Love, the topographical touch of Kierkegaard, which is like the crumbling ivy of Williams, in which neither is concerned. I understand the wall, the gander, the desert, not the sea. I gather dust because I burrow and fall. Sometimes I am smelling wet, rotten soil because my hooves sink where, like dogs who lift their legs in perfume. Letters before poems, I always say. They exist as I do, yet I am unpunctured, unscarred, ungrist, wild as the undriven snow. Mineral God, whose birds are pebbles and cheese, God whose gore is not men or law. Concerning the soil, the length eaglets fall is a distance, distance beside the sun and the soil, a flight. I believe in the gracious act, in sanctuary. We will call this poem The Bird in the Sun. We dedicate it, misuse it for a gloria, because this is not direction, but measurement. Because you are students, you dislike it, which is shameful. I dedicate to dying. Some stories of the beauty Wapiti. Tonight and forever I shall be yours, so says the Olio King, via dolorosa vexation of beauty soft with oil, by the side rings of Wapiti drink blood from cacupine stamens. Tonight the Wapiti wastrel move through the lower plains, bending water fennel in vatric streams toward the skull's place, struck down wolf's bane or monk's hood, weep in the pico rain, and beneath their tails tumble rails of heterogenesis. Tonight and forever I shall dream, be yours in Montalto Etonio by Leon Convallo, Pia Mater, delicate membrane, peach pink and wine vagabonda, here before thee in council at Wapiti is wine mingled with mirth. Also our reconstituted paps, which never give suck, tonight is vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. Take the delicate Wapiti, make a sponge with vinegar and put it to. monstrous elk, we shed your horns and unsack your precious peach preserves. Yeah. Tonight and forever I shall be yours, so goes my netta. Hyacinth, the lily of your evil heart, laugh, clown, laugh. A full day of the hyads is gone, they rose with the sun. Blessed are the wapiti saturated with piss and myrrh. And as the cuckoo pint 153 times bleed, so must Tonio unto netta wed expensive ointments such as these. Open thy mouth, for the numb and the cause open thy mouth. Proverb 31. She seeketh wool and giveth meat to her household. Her hands hold a distaff. She shall rejoice in time to come, for she open her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law. Amen. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise in her gates. Tonight and forever I shall be yours, elk. Via crucis vicar, son of a bitch, render out with magnificat. Hesperus comes in this seventh hour in peculiar antiphon. Tonight the little wax match will wobble and sulk. No, I'm not a clown. My white face is not painted on. Tonight and forever, the wapiti move through water hemlock and bend their necks into the soil of the lower plains. Proverb 1. And from the green wool pull brave testicles, so surely domesticated they make a garden scene. Like cowbells, from their heavy lips swing hyacinths, blue knickerbockers gathered below the knees, gaily swinging nectarine pentacles like apricots. Further stories of the beauty wapiti. Down to the ages so have they come, riding Apollo on his golden balls, perhaps nipping the corners of his jet prints, and yet flying in his beautiful youth with fur wings and wings of larkspur dabbled with wet pollen, going further yet on his molten foam, leaning his neck into the mad river of the north to the diseased cheeks of Mozart and the red wax of Boxia and his wife's gentle hooves. As an Indian climbed with his wet back into the town reeling from his goblets of cloves and the smoke from Apollo's golden hem. I report this, for the wapiti come with many instruments, sometime in blue dancing soft folk songs, and of the last ghosts that plagued wapiti in their high winter gardens. But his tresses hung low, until in a garden they spun with gray profusions as he danced, a ruby-titted voice lost in the white-eyed dawn, more than 70,000 fathom deep, so that needle-nosed ciliates breathed, and cloven hooves weeped beneath satin sheets. I say wapiti eated only minted fodder, scented with sun glares of pineapple, wet. Ooh-wee, he sings, my pixen maid feeder, dresser vagabonda, he's crying. Yet his stories were seen by a lost girl weeping in the park, who would not see him. Dear wapiti, she said, eat me in your flaxen tears, for the dogs run the city biting breasts that burst from their lace. Come away with me, I want my legs around your hips. And he burned with anticipation, drew wooden handles in his throat. But the eagles flew down, and the wapiti cried. Then he let his haunches down. Drink with me from the fountain. Children have played polo all yesterday here. Little women have wet their hair. Dress Apollo me in your golden sun. The fountain played. I am chaste. I am chaste.
Anard si terg, great is Diana. Mundum, mundum, mundum. Anard si terg, anard, anard. Num, num, mundum. Begone, evil moon. Run, howling from heaven. Run, howling, panic to earth, crash to splinters on the polar ice, die strangled in the hair of the north wind. Scowl riding the sky, empress of dream, we deny you. Seven times we turn away from your mirror, distorting and tarnished. Blind light, blow out. Now the wings of your elves wither, the spears fall from the hands of your huntresses, your cats vanish, over all the earth. Angel, bland, implacable, reigning serene over agony, wafted through heaven by the shrieks of the mad, now cry, run, howling. Man's alive, he's got what it takes, there'll be rockets going up like rattlesnakes, and signs saying eat at Eddie's place on the biggest craters of the full moon's face. Visible silence, it won't be long ere you get an earful of games and song. The world series will be all relayed, and your glaciers tremble to the hit parade. Moon doom, moon doom, moon doom, anod, anod, ah. Sing, women, over the earth, sing down the moon. When all seas are motionless, then will she droon. Yon jealous virgin traipsing heaven serene, spying on earth's lovers, we have eden. Forge me a black dirk to fling at the sky. Weave me a spider's web that will float so high. Sing, women of the earth, sing down the moon. Sister, she's bound to fall sudden and soon. His lane let the lordly sun in the heavens move, till not a heart on earth remembers love. Fray every ocean wave her weird will dream, droon, droon the goddess in her ain sailor sea. Never to lure again the unborn to the breast, then shall all women laugh and the seas rest. And there shall be no more moonlight, and there shall be no more moonlight, and there shall be no more opposites over all the earth. 9th nursery rhyme. Bells clang low in Tom Never's tower. High is the moon, late is the hour. Fallen lax as a hawthorn spray, the moon maid lies under flowering May. The mirror speaks on Tom Never's wall. She was the fairest of them all. The armed man turns where torches pass, his mailed fist threatens the weeping glass. Over the hills and far away, the moon doth shine as bright as day, a silver whispering fills the air, she was the fairest of the fair. The bells ding fast and the bells ding slow. She moves a wraith in her robes of snow. Through blossoming thorns sleep-scented May, to the claver o' bells she wafts her way. Tom Never, thy mirror is dark, save far in its depths a fiery spark. She hovers up like a deathly flower to the window high in the darkened tower. She seeks the window looking on night, beyond the reach of an eagle's flight. The great tower swings with an earthquake shock. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. The magic egg from the roof is hung, Rockabye baby, roughly swung, the egg rays light frae 100 eyes, a light as fierce as its raging cries. The red rose laughs and the lily flower, Tom never laughs in the burning tower, with arms outstretched as he leaps through light to seize his shadow and grasp it tight. The shadow flickers between the wars, the light to the unborn leaps and falls. Upon the lovers that light is shed, it falls and leaps to the dance they tread. Rich man, poor man, beggar man, thief, loved alike with passion and grief. All the king's horses bounding and gone, how many miles to Babylon? His shadow leaps to the man's embrace, the chanting fire is their trysting place, but against the window the woman clings, spreading like snow her silent wings. Her palms beat fast on the window pane, the tears on her cheeks like crystal rain. She craves with a dead moon's blind desire yon lover's loss in their world of fire. Ride a cock horse, cries the babe unborn, little boy blue, come blow your horn, as hearts are shaken that tower doth shake to thundering bells that warn awake. Awake or fall through the crags or dream, awake or dee with a cock's first scream. As fades the full moon gazing on day, she fades and pines to a phantom grey. Broad and cold are the fields of dew, cold is the grass her feet go through. She sinks to dust mid the hawthorn grove, a trumpet sounds for triumphing love. The road that rins through the starlit sky, and the riders to Babylon prancing by, their horses rear when the trumpet caws, pitched through the ceiling the bairnie falls. Gang doon Lord Bothwell frae Mary's tune, and Paris frae Troy, gang doon, not while the day star dwines in the west will peace be found on a woman's breast. The bells are hushed in the burning tower, the moon lies hid in the hawthorn bower, the mirror whispers blind on the wall, she was the fairest of them all. Fair young wife, this is a tale for a night of snow. It was lived in the Northland long ago. An old man, nearing the end of life, took to his arms a fair young wife. His house was built on barbarous ground, solemn pine woods circled it round, forest gloomy and unexplored, hunting ground of the wolves abhorred. Through miles of forest the wolves ran light, she heard them running at dead of night, she heard them running though far away, and her heart leapt up like a beast of prey. Lie still, my lady, lie still and sleep. The north wind blows and the snow drifts deep. My timid love, in our curtained bed, the cry of the wolves ye need not dread. The snow drifts deep and the north wind blows. The wolves run light on the winter snows. When old age sinks to a sleep profound, the cry of the wolves is the only sound. She dreamt she walked in the forest shade, alone and naked and unafraid. her hungry soul to its kindreds fed, in devouring lust with the wolves she fled, but woke at dawn in her husband's bed. She dreamt, she walked where the wolf eyes gleam, and soon she walked, and it was no dream. She fell on fours from the world of man, and howled her bliss when the rank beast ran. The morning life and the midnight life, the sun and moon of the fair young wife. The moon in the northland waxes strong, the days are short, and the nights last long. The blessed sun, the Creator's eye, shrivels away from the winter sky. The moon of December rises slow above the forest that smells of snow. She flings and tosses her mane of hair, rough with the stench of a wild beast's lair. Her nostrils sniff the night and the frost. She speaks to herself, their spirit lost. I am naked, the night is cold, the moon at my window big and bold. On fields near the forest the snow lies white, will it show our tracks when we run tonight? For 50 leagues on the frozen snow I'll feel through my fur the north wind blow, run to drink of a bounding flood with the mighty pack as it quests for blood. Strong, free, furious, swift to slay, but back to my bed by the break of day. Can I lie down at a husband's will when wild love runs and my heart cries kill? Wife, are you ready to come to bed? Her husband calls from the room overhead. The lights are out in the distant town, and I can't sleep until you lie down. Softly panting, she climbs the stair. The moon lights the bed with a demon glare. I'll draw the curtains around the bed, and we'll lie hid from the moon, he said. Curtains drawn in the deep of the night, through smothering velvet, no glimmer of light. He turns to his love for a kiss in the dark. In her eyes shining near him, he sees a red spark. A fire as fierce as the break of day, she tosses him down in ravenous play. To the edge of the forest ring his cries, a beast on my body lies. The wolf pack howls in the waste of snow. She howls to answer them long and low. But she will not run with the wolves tonight, though the full moon shines with a blinding light. Behind the curtains her jaws drip red. She has found her prey in her own dark bed. The man who, nearing the end of life, took to his arms a fair young wife.
From the New School of Boston Cooking Book. Take a tomcat and make an Osiris of him by immersing his body in water. And when you begin to suffocate him, talk into his back. Papri Greke Magike. Recipe number one. Take a babe and burn him. Take a burning babe. Take bread if you haven't a burning babe. Take wine and commix a bit. A part of the bread. Dip it. This is the mixing. Take a bit of the bread and wave it. This is the waving. This gathers in. Take the remaining bread and say slowly, hoc est anum corpus meum, and the wine, make it blood. Do not mix in the two. Eat him. Recipe number six. How to make a Helen Adam. Take a bit of the sperm of a wallark, add the mother of none of us, and wind and water let loose like unto what Noah slopped through to the side of the ship and was the last in after the unicorn. And fire like a candle in the land of the blind which has just been seen by all of us. And earth like the earth who gives such dread and gives again, for this is everything. Bake. For Jack Spicer, in memory of the death and decay of a day. Skip Saturday, start here the night before Sunday afternoon is Bardoon's is just isn't. A negation, warping and equaling the night after Babel fell, when the Logos was not Alpha nor of Omega, but the K and K's and only a crazy Y for a vowel. God, what hell, when simply no one could tell her guy or his gash the right time of their horror at the divine philology, creating Christophthamies for the love of dusty men in stacks to come. This is how a letter gets lost. Rip, a rip, rip, rip. And this is also how a letter gets lost. A hand drops, a letter bounces up to knee level, and gone too, go too. Let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. He too made with slime then. Rivers fled, river dregs, footprints found on Sheena's bottom, not mentioned by the compiler of the Pentateuch. Rivers drag, Sundays drag, incoherence, our mind's swamp of old movies and piled up Sundays, a swarm of unspoken lies to a face passing along the window of sun. Unspoken and said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top 510 stories may reach unto heaven. Slime and stone syllable into the edifice sentence, the proportionate stress of keystones and strain of the downward thrusts absorbed in the bowed lines of the pillar's syntax. It had no roof, it had no roof. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth, plain upon tables, Sheena, that he may run who readeth it. Announce. September 10th, 1956. The word is official. The word is that atom-powered rockets capable of circling Mars and Venus are presently in the last stages of development. No roof. The weather is fair and milder, with a possibility of slight showers. Mrs. Timothy of Medford was convicted of second-degree murder today from the death of her 6-month-old child. The man was smothered, quote, to stop his damned yell, unquote. This is how a letter gets lost. And the Lord said, behold, the peoples is one, and they have one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, edified, which they have imagined to do. Said Samba Daddy, let's confound him, so the Lord scattered them. Stacks of bricks tumbled as books fall into incoherent mire. Like the screeching birds scatter, giving blood to the hail, fall, the name became myriad, fell. The form is not exactly to the life, but the name supplies what is wanting in effigy. Let us name us so as not to be scattered. The invisibility of God cooperates with what has been fashioned, or doesn't. And now nothing will be restrained from them, yelling men. He, before men fashioned mirrors, opened his mouth and uttered a word like unto himself, who, appearing before him, became the means of his seeing what he was, the focus and attention, which is techne, smothered, gone to the face of the whole earth, the word lost, a whimper. Hum, chant, sing. September 15th. September 14th, in one line received on September 15th, after the poem had been erroneously titled The 15th. In the street of Saintest Desire, a brother and sister coupled on the quilt of Sodoma's rags. Moving rags and junk, yelled a man in the red rusted truck on September 14th. a skull grinning from its perch where a chrome virgin once had thrust her breast to the wind. She was sold, is a round of bullets. A mailman leered and staggered in the sun, delivering notes of death, soap, gas, and electric notes to the old. Never give a letter to a child. Never. They'll rip it up and say, I chew paper. Is there any mail for me, mailman? What's your name? Billy. No, no mail for Billy. Is there any for my mother? What's her name? Mama. No, none for Mama. Only for Mrs. J. Steadfast. That's all the mail for here, Mrs. J. Steadfast. The skull turns the corner, the brother comes, the sister reaches for the radio, and FM says, 341, pick up the peanut machine, no nickels. 342, call Longwood 68231, Harry's dying. 343, Myrtle, come home. 344, Jesus saves for Myron. 345, John of the day at Crane's Beach, call only one. 346, Harry Becker, please call Lockheed. 347, Joe Mary wants. Who are you, anyhow? I got plenty of women. They might be prettier, but they're not younger. In the street of Saintest Desire, asphalt rips, flesh a boy rips, butterflies, a girl says, shit, leave me alone. Don't touch my records, my songs. Get out of here. You're old, you old creep. In the street of Saintest Desire, a gyre of children without flowers fling weeds into the sun, spit at the sun. Patience and prudence are singing. All right, you jabbering idiots, life just came in. Get it out. I can make anything into a song. Harry, is Dawson still on Fairview? The member from Puerto Rico wants to be recognized. 28, get those beats moving. You're full of shit, you herring choker. I'm all alone with my big bone. Keep the shit moving and shut up. Oh, anything into a song. Shut up, you goddamn fool. Give us the bell. Pete, is Adam good at Garden View? Listen. Oh, who took my fornicating hat? You're nothing but a one meatball. You're nothing but a one meatball. So sad, so tall, you creeps, damn fool. Shut up, clang, last lap. Get it all into the sun. And in the shady side of sloppy Saintest Street lies an assault on God. The bum drinks, agrees only to the positive. He never says no to a fly. In the gutter without springs, he slept 3 days, so they didn't move him. By the fourth day, he was dead. They still didn't move him till one eye opened and showed him dead. A message to a mailman, the glint from a deicide's eye. And on Saturday afternoon, after I put the letter into the slot at 37 Crawford Street, Dorchester, I saw the skull and bone scrawl on the box. Beneath the image were the words, Murder has good tits.
Sue Rosen. It's called Pygmalion-esque. Cat-sized daughter born out of the holy half-mad, half-spine brain. I see you smiling out of your statuary chalice, eating apples, growing flowers in your flesh. Voice. We always love the mystery of you. Beetle voice, behold your trashy truce with my maker's hands. Fire in and on you for your clay and skin. I can kick children out of the mud and send a spasm into their wicked, agate eyes. Voice, we love you for the mystery of hands. Imperfect Pygmalion never loathed the odorous mud out of which women were born. He never felt the rasp of sex with skin like stone, nor felt the upheaval of chalices on movable rock. The skin is never stone, nor love the same as love. I love the skin and only mate with stone. Voice. We are entirely fictitious, the others advance. Seraglio of graveyard golems, willow, marble, mud, and female. Infuriated with the love of my unknown hands, and the magical rack, and the marvelous body for the first time, I have all of you transfixed in moving out of skin to stone. We give birth to buildings, hard nurseries. to stairways, bridges, benches, sidewalks, piers, prodigal with a blanched alluring caryatids and fetid veni and cat-sized holy daughter cats, more prodigal still were those medieval spires that perished in upward mystery, and then the beaches when the buildings died. Oh, my cat shape and my visionary voice, move over the rubble of ovarian platforms to the beaches of rock and half-rock, where all begins in the laughter of children kicked out of the mud and ends in the love of ectomorphic half-soft girls. The universe in four concentric parts. Part one, Lamia and the speech of spheres. Understood by the windmills and the turning rooftop chickens, I send spinning from my fingers the truth of mystic enumeration. The four airs perform a pantomantic, saying all in up, down, forwards, and backwards. Rise, Lamia. Say that whatever is mad in your mind's world is mad for being real. Unlovely, hungry devourer of children, Lamia, male and female in your one negative loin. Nymph, satyr, ram, beetle, bitch, and cat, Lamia loves by being hungry. I perceive the devils exist only on the suburbs of insanity, that voluntary vision sees nothing, that real magic transforms within the actual, light incites the eye to delude. The maddest thing about my world is me, supernal only by supernal sight. The winds enumerate. Pure being is the core. Around the core moves partial being. This is life. In pure being, the eye is shut. There are no judgments against matter. All exists, nothing lacks. In pure being is creation. All is activity, and all activity produces. All that can be perceived is a created extension of the well of pure being. Dead things and inanimate things live by changing, as do living things. They are extensions. They cannot attain the whole, nor could their sum produce the whole, because having no one dimension, the well can have no totality. There can be only one pure being state, because it is all, and more than all enumerated alls. Part 2. Virago and the Obvious Real. In the unbuttoning morning, greyhound sprawls in unsubtle sleep, female nakedness robbing the wistful grace of any woman dressed in overlarge clothes. Even the lightest speech of fountains fades and seems gross. There is a hotel in Los Angeles in which a bulldog sleeps in a cradle and still looks unloved. Wild, fine, remarking hands smell of children in the very mortal tick-tock complaint of only 8 o'clock. I breathe and unwittingly conjure Virago, who is trying to bark and sleep at the same time. Outside, bombs and tennis shoes explode. Salesmen sell to other salesmen. Women sweep because they are housewives. Cats cry like babies. Spiders hide in arctic basements. Doors slam like stomachs. Boredom slides down the streets, not bothering to wait for lights. Part 3. Incantation. If I see a tree too big for words, I shall scream and run, scream and run. If I see a tree too big for words, I shall scream and run, scream and run. Please do not touch me, please do not touch me. I will ignore your obvious cramp. I will ignore the weeds in your eyes. I will ignore your money. Give me a cigarette, light it, turn out the light. Good night, good night. If I find you dying, I will call the police. Call them all. If I find you dying, I will call the police. So just you try it, just you try. Why don't you love me? I don't believe you saw flamingos. I don't believe in China or Los Angeles. And I don't believe and I don't believe. And oh my good and oh my beautiful. Spirits come, but do not stay too long. Part 4. Shalom, shalom for hand and drum. Benzene, naphthalene, dexalene dream. A fog, Thelonious bat. Climbing pleated pages, Rambo bound, wound, clock, spitting light on a Benny bean. Take it, make it, fly it high, let your fingers screech in the sky. Jump with Benny, gel with tea, haul out your hands and play with me. Ride the rock horse, downbeat, downbeat, your nose is on my knee. The Three of Wands are the eggs, the chaos of the bird. I have not forgotten the three snow owls that I, a sleeper looking out into the midwestern winter night, saw perched on a snowbank. Now I am somewhere involved in the chaos of the polar night, and the six eyes of my first snowy epiphany glare at me from my window. Around me run carnivorous rats and lamps that fall madly from their places. Some full thing builds out of the gaze of the snow owls, who sit silent and white. Some full skin thing that must be broken to let the terror out. I have a knife, and I slash at the white dog at my feet. I slash to break the owls, to shatter the rats, to laugh the lamps back on the walls. What escapes from the rupture of the full skin thing is the sleeper's voice, voice robbed of mind, speech without power. The voice of the sleeper is the voice of the mouth. What is it that I have told to the snow owls? Part 2. This day was a three of angels, one flown, one fallen, one with secrets. The mouth of one is a Doric mode, a ruin, an owl of violated purity. The snowiest and flightest of the trio was the angel of white anguish, glaring at me from the snow. The real queen of the snow stirs her pot in my room, torments me with charcoal, and does not tell what she knows and what I do not know. The real Snow Queen has the whole of the Arctic impaled in her eyes. Part 3. In the illuminated books of the 15th century, I'm able to find this day's breath. In the 15th century, the hand owned the pen, and light was a part of the word. In the 15th century, my name was Marguerite d'Angoulême, an owl. In the 15th century, Paul de Lambourg shook down the apples. In the 15th century, I had an amulet and sores. Today I have seen two dogs at war in the intersection of Bancroft and Telegraph Avenues. Traffic was held up for 10 minutes and vexation was universal. Part 4. I cannot listen to your opera when the squares below are rocking the boat. Your beautiful rapture is turned off in the midst of its eternal aria. When the boat is launched, the tourist squares break out in speech. The first square wants to go to the ferry building to see some real live ferries. He is dropped off on Market Street to travel to the Richmond District for the best piece of ass in town. The second square, tentatively named Peter Gray, wants to go to the Black Cat because it is a gay bar. Mary Tootsie says, gay? There is sawdust on the hem of her coat. I blow out every candle in the hayloft. No one is speaking at all. Mary Tootsie, who writes poetry herself, buys 3 copies of Howell. Part 5. I find the Snow Queen making speeches in my bed. Her mouth is the mouth and the language of the sleeper. The ritual is endless. Part 6. Matins are held in a cathedral of trees. The wind confuses everything, the light, my mind, the sound of leaves. This is a tree I sit on, where once I sat inflamed with the name of my Snow Queen. I heard her feet breaking leaves, heard her unbelievable steps moving away, heard her reach the top of the hill, and I wanted her never to come back. The wind leaves my own lungs breathless, my mind wasting a million dripping words, my body bathed and baptized, and I am too perfect to write poem. The desire for power is the desire for flight. To have power, you must learn to fly. To have a wing is to darken something. To have love, you must learn to fly. And the love of being a wing is mystery. This poem is for a you. You because I have power, but not the power to escape you. You because you have more flight than anything born out of the air. You are the mouth that flies without a voice and speaks power. You because you have stepped into the fire of the real. They called you the bird of devils, and out of the fire brought forth a citadel in the form of a bronze bowl. They called you what was bright in the hot fire, brought out of the fire the love of the bird of devils, brought out of the isolated light the bird of birds, brought out of love what was mad in the real, and discovered themselves feathered in the wild air. The bird, in bringing forth the egg, thinks first of the sky, then of flight, and then of what flies. In the love of the sky poems are born, and there is order in my wandering through you, finding that the veins of you are feathered on the inside, and that your blood has brought forth eggs. We, moving as we do, become order robbed of objects, become ritual. We, moving, are capable of calling to the earth the bird of containment, ritual birds. A bird in a ritual is the grave's eagle, a bronze bowl, wings embracing the universe of the belly. This is the ritual bird. Saltwater sky containing one fish, A playfish who swims in an undersea subway. A gravesfish who does not even swim. The fish that you, as a child in a yellow play suit, prodded with a stick, and when it died, asked no one, what did it just lose? The fish and the bird turned back to stare at each other, unreflecting. The space of sight between eye and eye is where all meaning becomes recognized and estranged. Beneath the bronze bird is the turtle, on whose back the blind, wingless world fights and loses. A bird with dead eyes is not a bird. Its singing lies in white nets around its feet. The wreath of sightless vision bows its head against a songless, starless, moonless, endless night. Flying is not merely having wings. Here is the ritual bird, no object. Here is the urn that surrounds, and it is the surrounding and containing that creates what urns are. Whatever it is that desires power, it must be contained in the belly of the ritual bird, and swim in the sea under the enclosing wing before it can have vision, and seeing never becomes the object seen. In the crucible I see you as an old brass bird lady who paints children on her stomach. You as an old lady sit in Pershing Square, place my hand on your belly and say, he don't kick no more, must be dead. When your name was Julia and I loved you, you knew someone who painted a child on you. But the child, being genetic, halved, quartered, became visible, a fish in the internal ocean. Your name changed from Julia when I loved you into bronze, and then I swam in you. The ocean began to beat at your breasts, and your metallic pain made nights with you into merry-go-rounds. Your primordial belly made out of the fish a thing with lungs and legs, and then I wandered in you, and your name was fire. Nights with you became Gothic architecture. When the reality in your bronze belly began to have eyes, and you began to turn back to look at each other, and the holy mud of the world that would have hung between your eye and the eye of your child began to form on the sides of your bronze bowl, you, in the manner of birds who would prefer to be blind, willed death into your genesis, and the child, who then looked like an undersea Laocoon, the child died, and the bronze was shocked. It vibrated and gave forth the music of lost being. Your name was Julia, without any metal. Your name was all the blood and all the veins of the world, and no world could stop the madly opening flowers of your veins, and no world could stop the weeds of my terrible love. Your name was Julia, whose death looked like the bottom of the ocean, whose blood looked like cathedral windows, whose death looked like statues, whose blood looked like wine and powdered gold, whose death looked like the cold fire of being alive and alone, whose blood looked like war, whose death looked like the unenchanted philosopher's stone, whose blood looked like the red scream of roots pulled out of the earth. Your name was dead, and all birds stopped flying. When your name was a boy, and as savage and perfect as the statue of a boy, I became the function of an urn, but an urn reversed. Within me I felt 500,000 deaths and looked at none of them. The reversed urn, being powerless to contain, covers or cups, or becomes apparently solid. Out of the fire is born light. Out of the alloy and forging, bronze bowls are made. Out of exchanged vision, the world is born. Out of a wing, flight is born. Out of all containing, now is born. In loving the fire, I have attained the fire. Loving bronze, I have killed the bronze. Loving the vision, I have distilled the earth. Loving the wing, I have become its flight.
George Stanley. This sequence is for Pablito and is dedicated to Jack Spicer. Sequence for Pablito. Pablito at the Corrida. Instance found him bronzing in the fat veal country, whittling on reeds, and brought him on this suddenly silent stage. His hungry knees cried underneath the gilded starch. The little hands inside could hardly make his brain look here, look here. Then the cold horn elbowed through gasping pain into the secret eggs of him, and the stone crowd stood up and bawled. Now the brothers read louds in Spain. Raped on the shining sand, his leather-red heart pours out its criminal cache of strawberry powder. Power is an act of the many. To Pablito in the elephantine dusk, Christ was a power leaping on the wall. Would power only sleep in the blue steel or crack from A to B for him obedient as Christian Africa? But alas, it bowled from the bull, came off the feverish mob for his kill. Now cordons of ants would like to remove his brain. Let the judgment of headlines fall on him then. Let the hack eulogist with lead slug stamp his human wax into bloodless grace. Will anyone blame anyone for the lie? Pompeii. When I read this poem, I think of Pompeii. When they dug up Pompeii, the poems were gone, flower-like and fragile in the stone, giving nothing to the stone, honey alloyed to the stone, making nothing sweet. The eyes of the matrons burned on the dark blue walls. Under their eyes in shallow pools, the bell of a xylophone, silver, bell of an ambulance, bell of a burglar alarm, a trying to watch the slowest of motion, a grinding explosion change everything in the complexity of a second. When I read this poem, I know Pompeii is at hand. They were unready. It came at the wrong hour for them, the silver bell. Some little dignity argued a minute with the enclosing, and all that was left then was the gesture. Virginity, the little lost dog come home and leaping caught as in a cartoon. When I read this poem, I know Pompeii is imminent. I know we are moving easily into frenzy. I feel like taking off my hat to Pompeii before running. I should talk like the elder Pliny until I die, and then like the younger, reporting my own death. Mm. I was too tired to go see the eruption. Besides, uncle had set me a reading in Cicero. I read it. I bathed and took dinner. My uncle died there with a silly cocked hat on his head like a real admiral. When the wind changed, sparks began to fall. Mother and I went north. I had to carry her. Now it is beautiful weather. I am still reading. Cicero's style is most Roman of all. Dear Tacitus, my uncle died there. He died stoically, I am told. All his debts were paid. Mother and I are well. My dear Pliny, they were such nice people, the dead. We are moving so easily into frenzy, with nary a backward glance, so graciously. The silver bell will ring in the afternoon. Bell of a xylophone, bell of an ambulance, bell of a burglar alarm, and Pompeii, the dull, unconscious lurch exploding under the bay. We will be prepared, but unready. Speech will be on our lips then, light-winged, watching the light flame flowing under your flesh, translucent, becoming conscious of the dark flame, the dark red wall collapsing behind the flying soot, and your two white hands are shriveled to black twigs, unable to say, immediate, impossibly gesturing. What it is you were going to say will remain unsaid. Even the flattening words will ripple in pools of stone and die between our lips in the hardening hill. There was a time for consolation in the morning of the state. You and me, Republicans, read, the unexamined life is not worth living. That could console us. But now we cannot get consolation from Greek maxims when everybody is licking his lips, expectant. Bell of a xylophone, bell of an ambulance, bell of a burglar alarm, silver. Now time has fallen into our hands out of all the clocks. You look to me for consolation, and the hot wind pours by unconcerned, flushing our steepled faces, and the thick flow of death winnows down the window like grass. flowers. In a world of flowers, the enclosing is pregnant with silent clockwork and the shade with death. Nothing expires with more exhaling of life. Nothing clogs so quickly as sweetness. Nothing turns and burns the unshod foot so readily, ruinously, as the corruption of petals becoming conception in the earth. What word can stifle as well as jasmine in the throat, or unsex in the thrust as sudden as gardenias? What rash can rush in the flesh contagious as the rose? Nothing so perpetuates itself, dying more stoically. Nothing leaves less taint. And their death is a lime bleeding, a green file announcing, the steel bar in a shot of gin reminding. Anything cold and cold poured on the nape of the neck, metallic, lying as prone as flowers in flowers on the huge steel unwintered earth surrounding the undying progress of the social worm. All death is denying a purpose and watching a wall. And flowers deny their purpose in pantomime, dying to prove the syllogism. Whatever dies without reason is beautiful. Whatever dies without ransom. They die without reason and are beautiful. Irreproachable. Once in a violet spring illumined by the throat of a dawn gale pouring silver from the dark blue crooks of an omega in a cracking thunder-strewn thaw when the wild flowers poured out of the slush like crimson lava, you asked me how they grow. Does something underneath care enough for flowers to push them up? I said no. Nothing under this sweet green earth pushes them up. Nothing does. Flowers were in the air, green and tentative. Tendrils curling uncoiled out of a dead man's nose. Burned on the yesterdays of food. How do they grow, you asked. I said one leans on the other's shoulder. How do they die? Without reason. Hand in hand dying, curtsying just once. And how do my bare feet come to know the death of flowers? The idiotic joy of concrete poured on them makes no difference. Even then, the last juice winds upward once and sears everything it finds with mortality and the willingness to die. In a rational poem written by the unwounded, he is found out by the unsounded speech, irrational. In the pig's belly, the worm is eternally trying. In infected meat, your death is white and grainy. In modern poems, the transparent snake is coiled around the word sterility in his fangs. In life, the flowers do nothing but happen. In creation, there is an earth mother or goddess, unavenged. In syllogisms, the end is contained in the promise. In action, the hand is stayed by the dream. In bed, the hand is stayed by the dream. On us, Texas can come as soon as Pompeii and more slyly. In a world of flowers, no one survives but the one who will grow like flowers, leaning with Texas and rising through the balking roar and webs of madness and the shaft of the great nomadic wind funnel into perfect silence and unequaled light, a rose. The Pompeians are all 21, their eyes wide open, with the blue bell throbbing merciless underneath. Their curse is built in repetitive font on lead. They don't need anyone to tell them how deep these grow, how deep these flowers need. No one needs to tell them. One leans on the other's shoulder.